You're listening to The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith and with Kat Arney. We're looking for extraterrestrial life this week. But first of all, how do we find a potential home for intelligent life? Well, one way is by looking at the Goldilocks zone. This is the planetary zone around a star where it's not too hot and it's not too cold, just like the porridge. And measuring how the spectrum or colour of light from a star changes when it passes through the atmosphere of any planet can tell you what's in the atmospheres of those planets. And someone who's doing this in a technique similar to it is astrophysicist from Cambridge, Eleanor Backus, who's with us. I've given the noddy guide to this, but explain in a bit more detail actually how this works. How can we tell what is in the atmosphere of a far distant planet, light years away?
So certain molecules that you have or certain chemical elements, they absorb and re-emit different colours of wavelengths. So if you imagine looking at a white light source and you split this light up into different colours, like you would if you're seeing a rainbow, we're looking for colours that are missing or colours that are more intense than we might otherwise expect them to be. And that will give us an indication of what sort of elements or compounds are in the atmospheres of these planets.
I mentioned that the light coming through the atmosphere, do we only look in that way, or could we look at the reflected light from an orbiting planet and do the same thing?
Yeah, so that's a lot more difficult, but what you basically have here are two different methods of looking at the spectrum of a planet. The one where you have the light coming through the atmosphere is known as transiting, so you're looking at the planet as it passes in front of the star. And then the other method that was mentioned is actually what I work on, which is called direct imaging, and we're looking for the light that's coming specifically from the planet. And this light, in the cases where the planet's habitable, will be light reflected off the exoplanet's atmosphere that's actually coming from the star.
How far away are the objects you're studying?
So the nearest star is maybe about 4 light years away, and we do think that there's a planet around there, but we can't, sort of maybe 10 light years at most at the moment. So it's really very, very close by in terms of the size of the galaxy, let alone the size of the universe.
How do you do these experiments? Because I would think that the light that's coming from the star is tremendously bright compared with anything that's reflected off a little planet next door. So how do you get away the light from the star compared with the planet itself?
With an awful lot of difficulty, really.
And you're shaking your head.
Yeah, it's incredibly hard. There's some very, very, very complicated instrumentation involved, which, to be honest, it took me about a year to get my own head around. But fundamentally, we can focus the light from the star into a specific region on the telescope and sort of channel it away. And then, hopefully, after an awful lot of post-processing and complicated computer algorithms, get like a couple of pixels, which is a tiny blob, and you point at that and go, that's probably a planet, maybe, we hope.
So there's a little way to go at the moment,
yes.
You're sort of saying. But if I were to look at a planet, how would I tell whether the molecules in the atmosphere are indicating a planet which could be home to life or could provide a hospitable environment from one which wouldn't? What sort of parameters are you looking at?
I mentioned earlier something called biosignatures, and these are really the important things that we're looking for. And in terms of looking at exoplanets, we're looking for specific gases really in the atmosphere that can only really be created by life. So the common examples that people often use are things like oxygen and methane in our atmosphere, where they're sort of metabolic byproducts and we can't produce them in the levels that we see in our atmosphere by any sort of geological or photochemical processes. They have to be produced biologically.
There was some controversy on Mars, though, wasn't there, with these methane seeps? People said, oh, look, this is perhaps evidence of subsurface microorganisms or something like that. They've largely backed down from that theory, so that still leaves you in the same sort of situation, doesn't it? Because all you can see is literally the signature of a chemical. You can't distinguish between, say, different heavier or lighter forms, which a life scientist could do on Earth to distinguish a life-giving process versus a non-life-generating process.
Yeah, it's incredibly difficult. So a lot of work at the moment is going into coming up with what possible biosignatures we might have. And to be honest, I don't think we really have any at the moment that are definitively, if you saw this, you would know there was life there. All of them have a kind of false positive scenario, which we would have to sort of try and rule out by just looking at maybe other elements that we can see in the atmosphere, or trying to find out sort of more fundamental parameters about the planet, so where it is in the habitable zone, that sort of thing.
Well, Eleanor, good luck in your hunt for habitable planets. That's Eleanor Backus. She's an astrophysicist from the University of Cambridge.